The reading is Psalm 127. 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, the labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate.
Appreciate Brother James England reading that passage to us, and it is primarily the first verse of that 127th Psalm that I'd like to think with you a little bit about this morning. As you read through the Bible, it's rather amazing how many building projects are spoken of. For instance, there was the monumental effort of building the Tower of Babel. And then you think about the majestic, marvelous tabernacle that began in the wilderness. And then there was that beautiful, almost beyond description, temple of David and Solomon. And so there are a great many building projects that you read of in the Bible, and perhaps it was in contemplation of some of these great projects of building that Solomon had in mind when he wrote those words, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." There are many things, I suppose, that we could gain from that statement, but I think at the very outset, it's important to realize that man is totally dependent upon God. Even in his building projects and in most every activity of his life, there is a dependency upon God that we should feel. In fact, there's nothing that we can do. There are no plans that we can make that can leave God out of those plans and still find us successful. The historical record of the Bible is very clear in pointing out that in every age of the world, in our age as well, how dependent upon God man is. And I hope this morning as we've gathered in this building to worship, when many things are going well in our lives, that we still remember that there is a deep dependency that each of us has upon our God. I think one of the best examples of that is one of the early stories that you read of in the Bible concerning Adam and Eve. And how on one occasion they decided, as they yielded the temptation of Satan, that they would do something that really left God out. And they yielded to the temptation of Satan to eat of the forbidden fruit, to see if they really could be as wise as God. And they could know good from evil. Well, they made their plans without considering God. And you know the terrible consequences that came. The evil that fell upon their lives that even to this very day in some respects affect our lives as well. But any time man violates God's commandments, when we do those things that really God has directed us not to do, there are going to be consequences, terrible consequences. Adam and Eve had forgotten how dependent upon God they were. It was God who had created them. It was God who had given them that beautiful garden home. It was God who had given them life, and yet they're making plans that leave God out. Then I think about the occasion when the Apostle Paul went into Athens, and he had seen the various idols throughout the city of Athens, saw the one that had an inscription to an unknown God. The time came when he was invited to come up on Mars Hill and speak to the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers. When they gave him an opportunity to speak, he began to talk to them about that particular idol that was inscribed to an unknown God. And he used that as a springboard to tell them about the true, the living God. And the God, he said, in him we live and we move and we have our very being. Now, obviously, that language was intended originally to show that God is not some mysterious, mythical being, as many of the ancient Greek gods were, but it was real, that he was alive. But that statement also shows how dependent upon God man is. He said, in him we live, we move, we have our being. And without God, man has none of these. He ceases to live. He ceases to be. He ceases to have any existence when God is taken out of the picture. How dependent upon God man is. So dependent that except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain who built it. Well, having said that, I'd like to just to suggest for the next moment or two that all of us are engaged in building or construction projects. We may not think of them like that, but in reality, all of us are in projects of building of one kind or another. Obviously, we're building a life. Most of us, many in this room this morning, are concerned about building a home and a family. And I trust that all of us are concerned about building up the Lord's church for which Jesus died. Well, in all of these particular, and in all other areas as well, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. It's a principle that still holds true to this very day. When we think about the church, I think all of us, obviously, we're concerned about the Lord's church universally. We're concerned about the Lord's church here at Graymere. But so often in our attempts to build up the church for which Jesus died, it is a sad and a remarkable truth that many times we seek to do so and God is left out of the picture. It doesn't even make sense to say that in building up the church we leave God out, and yet often that's what happens. And I'm not saying specifically here at Graymere, but generally speaking in many places we try to build up the church. But we really don't always take God's will and God's thought into consideration. Many times the work of the church is planned and it's executed without any genuine concern for God and for His will and for His blessings and what He can do with us and what He will do. I don't know, maybe it's just looking at it through my eyes. Hope it's not really this way. But it does seem that in our day there's too much emphasis upon what we can do and not enough emphasis upon what God can do or what we can do with God's blessings. In our day, the credit often is given to our abilities, our money, our time, and even giving credit to individuals. That's not where it begins. Much of the work of the church is made to depend simply on human factors rather than upon divine factors. But the Bible is explicit. It's very clear. And it makes us realize how dependent upon God we really are. In the 2 Corinthians letter, in the 5th chapter, in the 7th verse, the apostle said that so often we do just the opposite is what he's saying, that we are to walk by faith and not by sight. Now, we all know that passage. And we say it sometimes. We are to walk by faith and not by sight. And yet many times in the work of the church in particular and other areas of our life as well, we're more concerned about what we see than really walking by faith. Much of our church planning takes into consideration only what we can do and not what God can do. And sometimes even in planning church budgets, and one of our elders will be talking to us about that in a few moments. But sometimes even in planning church budgets and other activities of the church, we think only in terms of how much we can give and how much we can do and how much our efforts will count and not so much what we can do with God and what God can do in our lives. I suppose that generations ago somebody came up with the expression, what we can see our way clear to do. I've said it many, many times, but I really think they did us all in the church in particular, a great disservice. Because it's not what we can see our way clear to do, but what we can do with God's help. And it's more concerned with including God in our plans, because in Him we live and we move and we have our being. We are to walk by faith and not simply by sight. And you know, the Bible is a record of a great many projects that were undertaken by individuals who could not possibly have seen a favorable conclusion to what they were trying to do without God. Can you imagine what it would have been like if you had been Moses and God had said to you, "You go talk to Pharaoh and tell him to let these my people go"? Moses could, and Aaron along with him, gone before Pharaoh and begged and pleaded until the day they died. And Pharaoh never would have let them go if God had not been a part of that. And then they got down to the Red Sea, and Pharaoh's army is about to overtake them. And here's the sea before them. What are they going to do? Well, you know that Moses was told to hold his rod up over the sea, and God parted the water. But they could have gotten down to the Red Sea, and Moses could have held that rod up over the sea until there was not a day left in him, and that water would have remained as it always had been if God had not been a part of that. And you think about the apostles, even the apostles who had lived rather intimately with Jesus for some 3 years, who had heard his lessons, who had had opportunity to be with him day in and day out, and had heard him say many, many times, "I'm going to be resurrected." And yet when the day came that he died, they felt like everything was lost. How could 12 men do what he had told them to do, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation? Why, it would have been impossible for 12 men, or 1,200 men, or 12,000 men without God. And when Jesus died, they felt like everything was lost, and they were despondent. They couldn't do what he had wanted them to do. It's amazing how little they gave God credit for doing what he said he was going to do. And of course, when he was raised again, then great things began to happen as they put their trust in him. Well, by the same token, in our efforts to build up the church, let's place more dependence upon God. After all, this is his church. More dependence upon God and what God can do in our lives and in building up the church. It's so easy in trying to do the work of the church to lose sight of really what we're trying to accomplish. We can get so caught up in so many peripheral things that sometimes we lose sight of what it's really all about. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Our job is to seek and to save the lost and to glorify God. Let's not lose sight of what we're really trying to do. It's easy to begin using human standards and human judgments and not God's standard and God's judgment. When the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, he was writing to a church that was disturbed about human problems. And there were some who were following after Apollos. And there were others who were following after Cephas. And there were some who were following Paul. There were some who had kept their spiritual equilibrium and they were following Jesus. But Paul had said, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." The Apostle Paul could have planted until he died. Apollos could have encouraged and watered and nurtured until the day he died. And really not much would have been accomplished without God. It is God who really makes the difference in all of these things. And so we depend upon God to bless our efforts in building up the Lord's church, the church that he died for. But then again, when you think about building projects, what about our homes? That same principle holds true there. The breakdown of home life in America is, I think, one of the real tragedies of human history. Even in the lifetime of many of us here this morning, we can see great differences in home life in this country. And often what has happened is we have left God out of our homes. Even many of those who wear the name of Christ are sometimes trying to build homes without Christ. But such a home is doomed to failure. It just cannot succeed. Why is that? Because except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. We're really not going to have happy homes. We're not going to have children that are a credit to ourselves and to the Lord and to His church unless we build them on the principles or raise them on the principles that are laid down in God's Word. There's some of you who are here this morning who are raising your children. Some of you have very small children, teenagers, others. But all of us need to follow the admonition that the Bible gives us to nurture them and chasten them in the admonition of the Lord. That ought to be stamped indelibly upon our minds, especially during those years when we're trying to raise and train our children. And then there's some younger people here this morning. There's some that are thinking about that day when they're going to get married. Thinking about that time when you'll find a lifelong mate and you'll begin building your home. You too need to have as your number one consideration God and His will. Because if God is not included in your plans, you're doomed to failure. Except the Lord build the house. They labor in vain that build it. Well, you can bring that same principle down to our lives individually. It's not only in building the church, in building our families, but in our personal lives, that principle likewise holds true. You know, there's so much emphasis in our day upon materialistic things. All of us are caught up in it to some degree. And somehow we get to thinking, if I can just have this amount of money and I can have these things, then my future is going to be assured and I'm going to be happy and everything's going to be well. Oh, nothing could be farther from the truth. That's not where it really lies. Brother E.H. Ames used to say that we ought to give more concern to building a life and less concern to building or making a living. I wonder how many of us right now are really more concerned about making a living than we are making a life. That's what really counts. Let's emphasize making a life in contrast to simply making a living. Oh, I know we've got to make a living. It'd be foolish to say otherwise. But to make that the priority in our life, in contrast to really building the kind of life that would bless us and that God would bless and that would be pleasing to Him. But I wonder sometimes among us, even in this gathering, how many of us get caught up in this thing of building or making a living rather than making a life? Let me ask you, just how much effort do you put into making a life? It's a question that ought to be considered. Well, you know, there's a lot of church work that's really unplanned. A crisis comes along and we just react to the crisis. So many of our home, the home life is unplanned. Again, a crisis arises and then we try to find a solution immediately. And in our individual lives, sometimes it's really unplanned. We just kind of go along. And then something bad happens. And we try to find a solution that's not always there. Because we really didn't begin to build our lives and include the Lord, except the Lord build a house. Well, that kind of life is vain. That kind of life is useless. It never has accomplished anything in human history. It's not accomplishing anything now, and it's not going to accomplish anything in the future. Because when the Lord does not build a house, they labor in vain that build it. There's a statement in the 19th chapter of Matthew. Jesus was talking to His disciples. He made a statement they found very difficult to understand. He said, "It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to go to heaven." Well, they asked the same question you and I would have asked. Well, Lord, how can a rich man go to heaven? And here's His answer. With man, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And the key word in that statement is with. With God, we can do things that would be seemingly impossible otherwise. With God, we can build up the church to His glory and to the saving of souls. With God, we can build our homes that would be a credit to ourselves and bring our children up, that they will have happy and successful and good lives, at least according to God's standards. And with God, you and I can build our lives, lives that will be fruitful and happy, and that can have that eternal reward that the Lord offers us in heaven. But without God, we can do nothing. Except the Lord build the house, we labor in vain, or he labors in vain that build it. But with God, all things are possible. I don't know your life, really. I guess none of us really know the lives of each other. But if you're leaving God out of your life, if you're really not making him a part of your being, if you're leaving him out of your life, if you're leaving him out of the worship of the church, did you really think about the words of those songs we were singing a moment ago? I'll have to admit sometimes I have sung songs and not really considered the words, but some of those words a moment ago were so meaningful if we would just take the words of what we're singing and saying. If we leave God out of our worship, if we just go through the motions, it's worthless. It's vain. If we're trying to build up our families, and sometimes we just get so caught up in things that are not bad, they're not sinful, but they're less important than making God the center of our lives and our homes. And if we're trying to build a life that is devoid of God, we are doomed to failure. I don't know. If you're trying to do that, could we not encourage you to make God a vital part of your life? We're going to stand. That's kind of the custom we have. We're going to stand here in a moment, and Brother Ken's going to lead us in a song. Words of this song are really meant to try to encourage us. And this is a particularly beautiful song, "Just As I Am." Doesn't make any difference what our condition is, whatever we are. "Just As I Am, I Come." We stand to make it easier for someone who might want to come down out of one of these pews and come down to do that. But it all comes back to you and to me individually. Do we really want to make God a part of our lives? Do we realize that except the Lord build a house, we labor in vain? I hope this morning, if you've got the faith, if you really believe that Jesus is God's Son, and if you have the courage to repent, have a heart of repentance, and you want to stand before other people and say, "I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Anointed. He's the Son of God. I submit myself to him." And then you die. You're buried in a grave of water. Then resurrected from that. And that old man is dead, that man of sin. You come forth that new man, making God the center of your life. Do you need to come back to him? Have you been a wayward Christian? Have you really left the Lord out of your building? Isn't it wonderful we can come back to him? And so we sing this song. We're going to stand right now. And if you have a need and a subject to his invitation, I hope you'll come right now as we stand to sing.